It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is with the White House Council of Economic Advisors, Dr. Jared Bernstein. He's a regular, set to join us here in just a few moments. So as we prepare for that conversation, harvest happening across the U.S., whether we're talking about wrapping up soybeans or corn or cotton. Speaking of corn, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says
there are 5 of the 18 reporting states with harvest progress more than 10 percentage points ahead of the respective 5-year averages, in many cases far beyond that. Leading the way is South Dakota, 82% of the corn harvested. 5-year average is just 52%. And we also see significant advances compared to average in states like Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and North Dakota.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Dr. Jared Bernstein. He's with the White House Council of Economic Advisors. It's always good to visit with you. And as we start this conversation, we're actually starting in an interesting place when we talk about energy. What interesting place would that be?
the price at the pump, which is of such concern to American consumers, has been drifting down for a while now. It was over $5 a gallon in mid-June, and last seen, the average for the nation was about $3.75 or so. But there's about 17 states where the price of gas is $3.50 or below. I know myself; I filled up in Virginia over the weekend for $3.49, so that was pretty good. Now, look, I mean, a lot of people know that those prices need to come down further to get even more breathing room. But I think the key point is that the president has been fighting on their behalf and has been getting results. Back in March, he presided over the release of 180 million barrels of oil from the strategic reserves. That helped to reduce the pressure in this critically important commodity price, one that has consistently been driven up by the war in Ukraine. So you've got a president who's trying to deliver the goods, trying to deliver the breathing room, and we're going to keep pushing on that.
You know, as this happens, there's a lot going on here. But does this put us in the right trajectory of where we want to go? This isn't just one of those dips down lower and then we see an explosion back up to the upside.
Well, let me answer that with two observations. One is that when Putin invaded Ukraine, the price of oil went up to $120 a barrel, and you really saw a spike in the gas price, hit well over $5 a gallon. I just checked before we got on, and the oil price is down to $85. Now, I think there are many people who try to forecast this market, which is a very difficult thing to do, who expected that price to be well over 100 still. So again, I think the president's actions have been instrumental in helping to ease some of these pressures. But it's really very much a walk and chew gum moment. As your question suggests, there's great volatility in this market. And even though the U.S. is the number one energy producer in terms of oil and natural gas, it's still a global commodity and therefore can be disrupted by geopolitical events like the one we've been discussing. So we also have to pursue the path and pursue it aggressively to clean energy. And that's where much of our legislation comes in. The Inflation Reduction Act, with its emphasis on clean energy, as well as the CHIPS Act and the Infrastructure Act as well. All of those have components in trying to hasten that transition.
Dr. Bernstein, a couple of questions kind of tied into one here. I'll let you unpack it, but it deals with labor. On one side, we're watching this rail situation pretty closely, but on the other side, we've got a general labor market, and they're really not tied in other than labor as a title there. But what are you watching on that front?
Well, on the rail side, our job is to stay out of these negotiations. Obviously, we were very involved in getting the parties to the table. The president presided over some of that coordination, but our labor secretary, Marty Walsh, has been instrumental. He's an old union guy himself for decades, so he's someone who really knows how to talk to both sides, and helping with those, helping those parties get to the negotiating table and avoiding any kind of an action so far has been really important. I think in the background, though, you've got this strongest labor market in not just decades, in generations. I mean, we have a national unemployment rate that's 3.5%. That's the lowest in over 50 years. We've been generating job gains to the tune of hundreds of thousands per month, and this has been critically important to help households get through this period of elevated prices. The strength of the job market has meant better bargaining power for working people, so that kind of brings in that union dimension again. Low unemployment is a great source of bargaining power for workers. And, you know, at the core of Bidenomics is this idea that if you're helping to grow the pie, you ought to get a fair slice. So we're happy to see such a tight labor market, and same time recognize we have to continue to push, to ease price pressures.
I don't know if I can segue the idea of pie to the economy, but I'm going to try here. When you look at the economy today, have we been able to really strengthen the economy over the last year? Where would you compare us, or how would you compare to where we are today with where we were a year ago?
Well, it's easy for me to start when the president took office, because I think that was a real break in terms of policies and a distinction between how we approach government and the prior administration did. I mean, by getting shots in arms and checks in pockets right out of the gate, I think the president set us up for the strongest labor market in generations that I just took you through. There's no question in my mind that families, businesses, country in general would have had much harder time getting to the other side of this crisis had President Biden not taken office and implemented what he did. We now have 700,000 more manufacturing jobs than we had when he took office, 10 million more jobs overall. So I think the strength of the job market, which is something he has always recognized as being key to the prosperity of working households, is not only an elevated concern of this president, but something we can definitely point to and say much better off than a year and a half ago. But I also think you have to look at the legislation. Over the last year, the president has presided over passage of the bipartisan infrastructure law, the CHIPS Act, and the Inflation Reduction Act. The infrastructure law, you know, that used to be a punchline and a joke in the prior administration. Every week was infrastructure week, but nothing ever got done. Finally, we're trying to reverse decades of disinvestment in public goods. In the CHIPS Act, we're standing up a domestic semiconductor industry, and companies are breaking ground on U.S. soil as we speak to build huge chip fabrication plants with tens of thousands of good jobs. And then, of course, the Inflation Reduction Act not only stands up a domestic clean energy industry, but it cuts costs in medical care, cuts costs of insulin, prescription drugs, healthcare premiums. So all of that, I think, is ways in which we are definitely doing better as the president's tenure proceeds.
We always enjoy the opportunity to visit with you. Will you come back and see us somewhere down the road?
That would be my pleasure, Tony.
Again, it's Dr. Jared Bernstein with the White House Council of Economic Advisors on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Wrapping up, coverage from the 95th Annual National FFA Convention. Adam Locher reports.
This is Adam Locher reporting at the 95th National FFA Convention. Joined today with Dallas Sills of the White County High School and FFA chapter in Georgia, who raises and processes pigs through his company, Mossy Creek Pork. He's recently been declared the winner of the Swine Production Entrepreneurship Proficiency. Dallas, tell us how you're feeling.
Pretty excited and overwhelmed with all the good emotions, you know.
All right, Dallas, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your proficiency.
I'm 18 years old, and I started my proficiency when I was 15 in April of 2020 when the pandemic started and everything. And now I've got over 70 hogs in the barn right now and can't keep them going fast enough.
All right, so what is your day-to-day tasks look like for your hog operation?
I just get up in the morning and feed and make sure that they got water and no water lines are busted or anything, and just keep them going and make phone calls and answer phone calls and just keep selling hogs.
And how many hogs do you run on your farm?
I keep between 50 and 70 hogs at a time.
All right. What would you say your favorite part about, you know, running with hogs are?
Probably just seeing all the income, like all my money coming and stuff, and being able to raise something and produce it and make profit off of it.
No doubt seeing that product of all your toil is very rewarding for that success. What would you say are some of the most difficult or challenging parts of running your operation?
Just getting spots booked in the processor and stuff.
So how has your experience in FFA come to play with your supervised agriculture experience?
Just learned a lot of different skills and stuff, and how to ratio my feed better and stuff like that with my advisors.
Any other specific skills, maybe in an organization or management, that have helped you out?
Just time management with that, my business in school.
All right. So you've obviously put in a lot of hard work within your SAE project, and you've come a long way. I mean, you're a national winner and swine production. That's a very big deal. But I'm sure you've probably had some help along the way. Is there anybody who you'd like to thank?
Yes, all my ag teachers, Mr. and Mrs. Keener, and Mr. Dalton, and all my family, Glenn Gosnell, Joe Crumley, and Chris Little.
They've all helped you to win the Swine Production Entrepreneurship Proficiency, the national winner, Dallas Sills of the White County High School FFA chapter in Georgia. Dallas, thanks for joining us here today, and once again, congratulations.
Thanks, sir.
This is Adam Locher reporting for National FFA.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Rippey is a meteorologist with USDA and is taking a look at the latest on the U.S. cotton harvest.
Of course, the cotton is vulnerable to any adverse weather, but we just haven't seen that much of it for the most part this late summer and autumn. And so things have been going great, which means that the cotton harvest passed the halfway mark during the week ending October 30th to reach 55%, a 10-point increase from the previous week. At 55% harvested on the 30th is well ahead of the five-year average of 47% and last year's 44%. We have nearly half of the reporting states, 7 out of 15, showing cotton harvest numbers at least 10 percentage points ahead of the respective five-year averages. And in fact, things are wrapping up in the Southern Delta, 95% harvested in Louisiana, ahead of the five-year average of 88%. And pretty much across the board, we see those cotton harvest numbers mostly ahead of schedule.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's time to get serious about just how good your tractor can be. With the new Fendt 900, the ultimate row crop tractor, purpose-built to be the hardest working, most reliable, most comfortable tractor you can buy. With the best maintenance, service, and warranty program around, it's Fendt. It's time, and it's here. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Rippey with USDA on soybean harvest.
We have seen a doubling of the soybean harvest in the last 3 weeks from 44 to 88% harvested. Looking at the 18 reporting states for soybeans, 11 of those are at least 10 percentage points ahead of their respective five-year averages. Pretty impressive numbers coming in, not just from the drier Western Corn Belt, but all throughout the Midwest and even into the Mid-South. Now, looking at some of the states that are just wrapping things up as we head toward the end of October, we do have four states, three of them in the Western Corn Belt, that have passed the 95% mark for soybean harvest. That list of four states above 95% includes Louisiana, Nebraska, and the Dakotas, leading the way. North Dakota, barely any soybeans left in the field at the end of October, 99% harvested on the 30th.